Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask, how smart are you? How well do you think? Do you know how to make the right decisions? Is your thinking strong enough? Maybe you need to think even better. And what's a better way to think than to quantum think? And in order to help us quantum think better and make better decisions, is the author of a book called Do You Quantum Think? And it's a fantastic book, and the author's been on the show a number of times before. She's really a close friend. I'm so glad to have her as a guest on Energy Stew. Diane Collins, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. I love being with you in these conversations with everyone.
Well, we love the subject matter, don't we?
You send me the subject matter. How about decisions? And you know what? I made an immediate decision, yes, even though I really didn't know what you were exactly which angle you wanted to go in on, but I knew we would figure it out in the dialogue.
Well, you have a blog going lately called Decisions, Decisions, Decisions. So I figure you're plugged into decisions.
Well, you know, it's a very interesting time to talk about this topic because at the time of this recording, and I know a lot of people listen in archives, but there's always cycles upon cycles upon cycles, as we know, planetarily speaking, of the time to reflect and complete on things so that you make the right decision. But I think that overall, we are in a time where we know we've already journeyed into an emerging new worldview. We've already journeyed into a new consciousness for humanity. And this is why we need new thinking, quantum thinking. But the idea is that everything that has been created, both individually and on a collective basis, based on our old patterns of thinking, it's time to really make that literal quantum leap in consciousness. So when you look at, well, the decisions we make now are really setting the trajectory for the long term. And, you know, I'm an avid student of astrology. In astrological terms, it means that you go deeply into completing the past, whatever that means to you. You know, really, I have this image, Peter, that I use with our clients that I say, if you were in a house and you were the back door, you'd be saying goodbye to certain things. So these are decisions, right? What would you want to say goodbye to and open the back door and let it, you know, whoosh out like a hurricane wind came through and open the front door and see what your intent is now for your future. So in order to make those decisions, we need to look at how are decisions made in the first place. And this has everything to do with what I call the five natural faculties of mind: intent, intuition, meditation, resonance, and subtle energy. And I know that's what you're attuned to also. So How do you think about it when you look at these decisions that we need to make now for this long-term trajectory?
That we shouldn't trust our minds.
You mean the mind? Wait a minute. Let's distinguish.
Right.
You mean by mind.
Exactly. Well, that's what your book is all about.
To include, when I use the word mind, I mean it means what you hold in awareness, and that includes the heart, it includes the soul, it includes everything you hold in your awareness, in the feeling tone of your being, in your intuitive connection. And so when you mean mind, you mean something else, right?
I mean the small mind. You're talking about the bigger
automatic
mind.
Automatic, what I call least action pathways, the automatic patterns of thinking, of emoting, of relating that we're not a conscious choice with. That's what you mean.
And categorizing as well.
Yeah, categorizing,
labeling,
making conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is really the premise of quantum thinking, is that our thinking is shaped by the assumptions, ideas, beliefs of the prevailing worldview. So when you say the conclusions, I think that's a very important point to highlight when we're looking at, well, what decisions am I making now? How do I make my decisions? What are we tuning into? Because what I lovingly call the old worldview, okay, so let me say it simply for everyone, we're in a quantum age, we have the expanded knowledge, the science and the quantum scientific insights are proving and merging, re-merging again with the spiritual wisdom that it is a consciousness-based reality, that everything is interconnected and interrelated, holistic and holographic, that we are multidimensional beings. However, our thinking, even to those of us who are on an awakening path, our thinking is still very much conditioned by the prevailing worldview so far in the collective society, that industrial age that said only physical matter is real. So what we did from that, how did it map onto thinking, is what you just said, Peter, is that the science of the 17th century, they looked at objects as solid, things, circumstances as fixed and static. They observed the data, categorized the data, made conclusions from the data, and then proceeded to live from those conclusions as if those conclusions are the truth for all time.
And we're taught that through our early lives in school with our parents to think and live in the five senses and operate from that and prove ourselves from that. So in many ways, we're conditioned to prove ourselves to ourselves by how we're thinking in limited ways.
Exactly. And these are the things that, eureka, we can interrupt those patterns when we can make the distinctions that you and I are making now. So, you know, I say it very simply, make a distinction between a thought that originates from you, a thought you initiate by conscious choice, with the awareness that you're doing it, and a thought that just visits from the surrounding mind field. We could make up anything, Peter, and people talk about the subconscious, and this is in the subconscious, and, you know, we know that the brain makes neural connection patterning, and we also know we can interrupt it and make new patterning, and that's what you're talking about. But when I look at it and say, make it fun, you know, that we exist in these invisible fields. And the invisible field is an intelligent energy field of consciousness. We don't really have the languaging to know exactly what it is. We could never really land on it, right? And it's infinite possibility, universe. So how do we actually ever say in words? But we can make these distinctions to give us access to it. So make a distinction between a thought you originate and a thought that just visits. I call it the thoughtosphere, you know, I call it that. Because we are picking up. I'd like to know what you think about this. I know we're picking up intel because we're surrounded by an intelligent field. And I think that the idea of the subconscious, where you think something is in your brain or, you know, I think it really is an outdated terminology, because I think that what we call the subconscious are just, let's say, past patterning connections that we have made.
Well, we think it is, because we don't realize how that quantum field participates in our thinking process regularly. So we think of ourselves as limited just by the outer world input that we've been giving it.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, as I say, you don't have, just because a thought comes into your thoughtosphere, right? Your local mind sphere, doesn't mean you have to own it or identify with it in any way. And I think making that one tiny distinction is huge. You know, quantum means the smallest unit of measurable energy. It means an amount. The actual word of it stems from that. People say, what is quantum? What is quantum? But we think of it as something big because we think of it as a quantum leap, something like a shift in the wind, something discontinuous with the patterning of the past.
Well, let me interject something, because I just was thinking, we can prove to ourselves how vast our minds are through our dream states and how precise these dreams are in detail. They come from somewhere else, come from our dreams we've never seen before. And they show up in these strange places with these strange details, but the detail is very, very detailed in ways that we wonder, how did our mind invent this? And it invented it through this quantum reality.
Exactly. But, you know, that dream thing is a very interesting thing. Years ago, one of my boyfriends along the way, you know, I've been married for 25 years now, but he was a specialist in lucid dreaming. And so I practiced that for a while. Did you ever try it?
Yes, and it's one way to dream. It's being more conscious of the dream state, and there's more of a reality to it, actually. And yet, if we're just paying attention to our dreams, they can feel very lucid anyway, and yet they're not as meaningful. Whereas a lucid dream, usually, we can interpret that in much more meaningful ways.
Yeah, because you have an intent for it.
Exactly.
So this is the idea, is that these five natural faculties of mind, as you pointed out, that we didn't learn in conventional education, because every educational institution until now that was born under the industrial age, only five sensory realities. So mind, in the way that you and I are talking about it, in terms of this quantum field, this quantum mind, did not come into the picture. So now we're starting to teach the students mindfulness and things like that. But this is really what you and I are talking about, is something even a greater reality. When you look at how do we make decisions, where does the intel come from? And that's where it becomes very important. We're talking about lucid dreaming. Well, what makes you be able to identify these lucid dreams is because this guy taught me, right? When you go to sleep at night, and I have an intent that I'm going to become aware of my dreams. And so I am making a deliberate connectivity to that reality, to that set of coordinates. And so I'm connecting in. So what I consider one of the great discoveries of the cutting edge science is the idea that our minds are non-local in nature. The universe is non-local. The mind is non-local. I know you know this. This is your whole raison d'etre of your whole life is based in this. That is that the mind does not have any spatial or temporal dimension to it. It's beyond time, it's beyond the limits of ordinary physical space. In fact, it doesn't even exist in that realm. So what is it then, right? Where are we getting the intuitive impulse or that subtle energetic feeling of rightness? This is the right decision.
Right.
And it's not like we don't use ordinary logic and outer facts either, but just sticking on this non-local mind idea, then that means that the mind can go anywhere and connect in anywhere. Now, I use the word go, but it doesn't actually go. It connects. It's like the internet. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the sublime, the infinite mind of humanity, the outer mind. What are you clicking in on?
But when you say anywhere, we're also talking about non-locality. So there is nowhere. We're clicking into the greater quantum field of infinite thought that comes through in ways that's purposeful. There is a serendipity to the way thought arrives, meeting our needs.
I know, and it's magical. The paradox is we think, well, your listeners and the people in this conversation with us very clear the importance of intuition. just in the general old worldview thinking. Intuition, oh, that was cool, you know, I was thinking of my sister and I haven't spoken to her and she called me in that moment. And this becomes the way of life. And I think in terms of decision making now, that it's really essential to become adept with these five natural faculties of mind, to really tune in to consciously generating your intent and allowing for what shows up in the unknown 90% of what we can't see at the time that we make the intent, to be able to use that intuitive connection that you can pull in information that you need, so that when you're attuned to subtle energy, that there is a rightness. You know,
but then again, you're attuned in a way that you don't have to think about the attunement. You just allow it. And I want to offer an experience that I had last night working with someone who was a very advanced thinker, someone who has used every tool that she knew imaginable to break through and make better decisions, and felt very stuck. And started out with me, because I didn't know her before, of saying, I'm very pessimistic because I've already talked to so many advanced thinkers and I still don't have the answers. I would hope, I'm calling you because I hope that maybe you can tell me something, but I just can't imagine that there is anything to tell me. And I said, I don't know either. Let me find out. And I tapped in an extremely open mind, which I have to be when I'm intuitive, and started receiving information that I'd never heard before, not only about her, but in life, things about tools and directions that were shocking to me to see, I'm telling her. And to her, she said, this makes all the sense in the world. I'm writing these down. I'm going to use all this. And it really shocked her that I had the answers. It shocked me too. I expect that my intuition works, but I love it because you have to be innocent. You can't be intuitive and be arrogant. So,
right. Well, you can't know from the beginning, as you
right.
say. It's kind of like the acknowledgement of the connection and that it's going to come into you. It's very interesting because today it's similar. I was on a radio show last week, you know, I do a lot of shows, and I was feeling something about this radio host that I had to tell her. And, you know, of course, you have to get permission for that, right? People call you because they're giving you permission, you, Peter, that's
right.
your profession. And at the end of the show, when it was over, I said to her privately, there's something that I'm feeling that I have to say to you. And it had to do with the next several months. I was just feeling her confusion, and it's okay to be confused, but it was unsettling for her. And I gave her some information that came through me to say to her, and it's a really interesting thing, right, to be able to discern what's the information that's actually coming through you, and what's the information where you're going into, quote, as you said earlier, your mind or your logic about it or what your opinion is about it. You have to free yourself from that to be that clear channel connection. But anyway, what happened is similar to what your client did with you, is I got an email from her this morning and she said, thank you so much, because what you said to me after the show completely made me feel better about the direction, and I know that, you know, in the fall I'll be making certain decisions that will be clear for me then. So I think that allowing is really important, and being able to get so attuned, so refined in your own being, so much clearing on the static of your own being that you can feel the difference.
And also knowing that even through our own minds, we'll create limitations for our quantumness. There are ego issues that we have. There's a lack of self-belief that we have to some degree, all of us. So it's really helpful to have conversations with others.
Exactly, like what you and I just shared. But
yes.
And just even with anyone in a conscious conversation. Now, of course, you know, me as a quantum thinker, I don't like to connect to a reality where we have issues. You might say that's Pollyanna, but
not the
really.
Issues are an opportunity. So let's see that differently.
Or the term from science, least action pathway, the way the energy or the thought goes, because it's been that route before. Blame it on the old world, mechanical worldview at that stage of human evolution and development. So we develop these patterns that we can interfere with now. It's a very simple interruption, because I labeled it that because if we think we have issues, I have this thing, it's like creating reality, Peter, at your convenience, right? It's like when we are, let's say, agree with what we think the reality is, it's like, oh, okay, we'll create that. But I think it's important to see that we're creating it all the time. You know, for me, it's like, well, just consciousness is the clay that divine creator has given us to create with.
To play with.
Yeah, to play with.
And it's not easy because a lot of times we get caught up in our limited minds.
Either, well, are we creating reality or not? And we're either creating it consciously or the default patterns from the past, the ones that are the already existing, unexamined.
Well, we're creating it that way.
Right. So I look at it when you say somebody brings up to me about, well, the ego issues, I like to put it in that distinction of a least action pathway because it just makes it easier to deal with. You don't have to go into any great depth. You know, you're not searching inside your brain for the subconscious patterns because the reality is this is the reality in this moment.
Right. And the more that we're aware of reality through meditation and through silence, to listen to ourselves, to watch from the perspective of quantum thinking, then you see which pathways you're taking and actually surrender to it in a way that will transform it.
Exactly.
Include it and then reach beyond it.
And that's the fun of life. And you know what? I was thinking about this the other day about where you meet somebody and you get a bad feeling about them. There is something to that. I thought, well, how do I take this to a new level? You know, I always try to come up with the highest thought on something. And I was like, well, when we do what you were just saying, where you connect to your meditative faculty of mind, I like to think of quantum thinking as a walking, talking, living meditation. Because meditation is an aspect of who we are. It's also a practice.
It's an awareness practice.
Yeah, it's an awareness practice, but I consider it the fifth natural faculty because only in the meditative state, that's the clearest connection to all that is.
There's a silence there. It's a brainwave state.
When you think about creating from intent or wanting to connect into the non-local mind field, using your intuition or wanting to really feel the subtle energetic of something to know whether it's right for you or not, that meditative faculty to know that as your way of being is very important because that's the clear channel connection. That's the elimination of the static. That's when you've got 5 bars on your cell phone instead of 2.
Actually, I think of it as learning to live in resonance.
Yeah, it is. And you can create resonance.
And you teach that through resonance, we have the power of manifestation.
Yeah, exactly. Because in science, it's called sympathetic vibration that we know, right? We know, and of course, we're using this terminology, and as you pointed out, everything has a certain limit to it, just as soon as we language it. But language, that's the paradox of language, is it has its limit, and it also gives us the access, so it opens up worlds and possibilities. But when you look at sympathetic resonance, that means things that are vibrating in a similar frequency range will make that connection. Or, you know, as I like to use, everyone knows when the opera singer sings at a frequency range that can shatter glass. It's gone beyond that range. So when you look at what am I attracting in my life based on my decisions, or what decision am I making based on what I'm attracting, right? It goes all ways, omnidirectional.
Right, and it's kind of like sensing your inner truth. What is natural and true for you in your own design?
Yeah, and I think you and I love the divination tools.
Yes,
right?
Sure.
Human design, astrology, numerology, the cards. I don't know what
right.
you call that.
Destiny cards.
What is it called?
I call them destiny cards. But
destiny cards.
They're playing cards. They're 52-card
deck.
All
these things that, again, these things depend on your own level of awareness, your own awakened state, because even if you're reading it or if you're the receiver of it, how you tune into it, how you interpret it for yourself, it's always a connection point. So even in using those tools, which we love because everything in this universe is patterning, it's all patterning.
Right. We want to resonate with those patterns.
Yeah, and those tools
yes.
have been received. This is what's being given to us. In the collective, we have all these tools, the ones we call the divination. And then I think what you're talking about is that we also have, on an individual basis, we're receiving. And in order to receive what people call it, spirit told me, or this told me, or I had this great idea, or eureka, that came in, this genius, some aspect of our own genius is ignited when we're in that silence of the meditative faculty. I know you can live in that. And so it's like you're always in tune. Many years ago, I visited Bali. Have you ever been there?
No.
It's like an amazing place. I mean, who knows? Everything gets built up and made touristy these days.
Yes.
But when I was there, it wasn't so much. And the thing that I remember, like waking up at sunrise and watching people who were native to that island, the way that they moved, I remember having a very significant experience of it, is that the way they moved was totally in tune.
Right. It wasn't too self-conscious. It was a natural way of being, which many indigenous cultures live that way.
Right.
Yes.
And I looked at that, and there was such a beauty in it.
Yes. That's great to see that, because then we know what we can aspire to.
Exactly.
Right. And that's how we make decisions, is from that place of naturalness, of surrender, and yet maintaining our confidence and conviction in the outcome, but allowing serendipity to do its magic.
Right, knowing that it's working.
Right, exactly. And so in that knowing of quantum thinking, Diane Collins, we're coming to the end of the show. I'm so excited that we've been able to talk about this.
I love the conversation.
And people should rush out to buy Do You Quantum Think, the book that Diane Collins has written. And Diane, your name has got two N's in Diane.
Yes.
And
go to my website. It's please to remember the two N's.
Right.
Diane, DianneCollins.com. You can read
That's
all
great.
About it.
That's
video,
great.
Audio, everything's there.
Thanks
Thank
so
you,
much,
Peter.
Diane.
Peter,
it's,
always
it's great.
Such an amazing connection.
We have a great time. Yeah, and I'm so glad that you're doing the work you're doing and making such a huge contribution to the
right,
world.
Right back at you, friend.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.